So I was going to introduce my sermon by that story I told you about growing corn 18 inches tall. I did take pictures of it too. So if you'd like to see the little corn, it reminds me. Jesus taught with parables in order for us to be able to learn spiritual truths. Many spiritual things are invisible, you can't see. For example, God is spirit, you can't see that. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit. You can't see that. And so he used stories to help us to see a truth that was spiritual. And in this case, it's a truth in a story, a truth in a way that they could all identify with, and that was with soils and with planting and fruit and harvesting. Jesus came and he sat beside the Sea of Galilee. And he taught them a number of parables, and one of them was to illustrate a spiritual truth of the kingdom of God. He gave them a story about an individual, a man who came and was taking seed, and he threw it into his field in order for it to plant, to grow, for the purpose of obtaining a harvest. The events that surround the sowing and the soil affects the harvest, and that is the point of the story that Jesus is making with this parable. So let me read the parable that he tells us, and it's found in Matthew's gospel. It's in chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. This is a story. And then he tells what the story means in verse 18 through 23. So let me start with Matthew 13, 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the seashore, the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And now I want to jump down to where he explains the parable in verse 18, because his disciples asked him, "What does it mean?" "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who has received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Notice with me the truth. There are some truths in this passage. I believe the Lord told this parable for us to get and hold these truths. He knows how folks will respond to the gospel. He is not surprised in one way. Notice the gospel didn't fail. The seeds, they didn't fail. And it was not everyone will be with the Lord in heaven. Not everybody wants to be with Jesus. Not everybody wants to come on his terms. They don't want to accept the gospel. He understands that. But there are those who are and do, and they are very fruitful, very productive in life. So let's look at another truth in verse 19. It says, when anyone hears the word, verse 20, he who hears the word, verse 22, he who hears the word, and again in verse 23, he who hears the Word. It is in the Word of God, in the hearing, that we see there's the activity. It is the one who hears is the one who obeys. That's the truth here. The one who hears and understands is the one who obeys. Obedience shows that we correctly heard what the Lord was trying to tell us, the truth he wanted us to hear. The audience who heard his first words, they demonstrated whether they heard or not by their obedience. If they didn't obey, they did not listen. So don't miss the truths in this parable. It is the Holy Spirit who comes, and he is the one who sows the word among the world. The seed, it is the gospel. That's the good news. That is the plan of salvation. The soil is human hearts. And there is only one soil that is described as good and produced much fruit. And we understand that. Whenever a master gardener comes in, he recognizes the only thing he can literally do is improve the soil. You can't change the seed. You cannot change nature. You're not going to redirect the wind or stop it, but you can improve the soil. Amen, Brother Al? Notice the plan. Number two, the plan. It was the plan of the sower to go into the field, sow everywhere with the intention of reaping a harvest of souls. That is the case with the Lord God. He sent Jesus in this world to die on a cross for our sins, to be raised up. He has sent the Holy Spirit to convict people of their sins so that they would see they need to repent, turn to Christ as their Savior, and follow him as their Lord. It was all done so that the Lord might receive a great harvest in this world and to bring honor and glory to his name. This plan included the powerful gospel seeds. All the soils represent human hearts. And the gospel was put out for all hearts to be affected. Every seed that was sown by the sower had the potential, same potential, and had the ability to grow and produce fruit. But it was not a gospel seed problem. It was a heart condition, the soil. That was the problem. And there is an enemy in this world as well. It was the same gospel seed for all souls, for all people. One gospel. We see that there were birds, rocks, and weeds, but they cannot stop the gospel seed from growing. The soil did not determine the ability of the gospel seed, but we do see that there is a battle going on in this world to rob people of the gospel seed from their hearts. And notice there was no heart that was so bad that it could not receive the gospel. No heart. And I read in John chapter 1, verse 9, the Gospel of John. Jesus said these words, to as many as received him, Jesus. That means whosoever may come. It says that salvation is open to every person on the face of this planet. I want you to know, when you look at the top of soil, you cannot tell what is down below it. You can't tell what seeds are in it. You see only the top of the soil. Therefore, we cannot look at people's hearts as soil, and look at their appearance to conclude what their heart is. It's not what's on the outside of a person. It's what's inside. It's what's in their heart. Every person has the right to hear the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have the right to respond. Every person. When Julie and I would hand out tracts down like at the Phoenix golf tournament or at the Super Bowl, when there's thousands and thousands of people, you cannot look at a person, their tattoos, their hairstyle, what they're wearing to determine if they will receive a gospel tract. It blew us away every time. You can't do it. You have to offer it to every person. And the people who had tattoos on their face, who wore different clothes than we wore, they would say, thank you. Thank you for the gospel tract. Then you'd have somebody who was from the NFL. They dressed up. They're going to be 6 feet, 7 inches tall. They're huge. They have the gold chain. They are You can tell they are NFL football players who didn't make it to the Super Bowl, who had their entourage of people around them, and you come up and offer them a gospel tract, and what do they say? No, thank you. Don't touch me with that. Every person has a right to hear the gospel and respond. Notice with me the types of soil. The first soil was the wayside soil. It's found in verse 4 and verse 19. This soil represented their hearts. The wayside refers to a narrow footpath that ran through the fields that would be out in their fields where they would have their plants growing. Whenever soil gets wet and people walk on it, that is the worst time and worst thing that can happen. Am I correct, Brother Al? It compacts the soil. It becomes extremely, very, very hard. And when the seed fell on the footpath, it remained on the top. It would not go down below. And we see in the first soil that they were very hard hearts. We're told that this speaks of a person who hears the gospel, but they don't understand it. Verse 19. There might be reasons that their heart is so hardened. It could be because of sin. It might be because of pride or a career or unforgiveness or anger or bitterness or a coldness toward the things of Christ. Whatever it might be, these things may have walked in their heart for years, and it will not allow the gospel to penetrate their heart because they don't want to understand it. It's not because they can't be saved. They won't be saved because they don't want to. The stony soil is next in verses 5 and 6 and then interpreted in verse 20 and 21. Here it is, Jesus, it tells us a small amount of soil covers rock. You wouldn't know it because from the above you see the soil, but underneath there is rock. And it looks great from above, and the seeds were cast there. But because there is no depth, the seed cannot germinate and have its roots go down. It will die because there is no soil depth for the roots to sink itself into. This kind of soil pictures hard hearts below a covering of topsoil. This person has enough of a heart that the gospel speaks to that person's heart. And their feelings about Jesus Christ and about eternity and about eternal life. But it does not speak and penetrate into their soul or down into their heart. Their heart's not in it. There is no repentance. There is no lostness before the Lord. There is no brokenness of their soul before Him. They want Christianity and they want the blessings and they want eternity in heaven. But they don't want it to cost them. This is a Christianity without a cross. It doesn't work. It does not save a soul. The stony soil did not produce a harvest. Notice the third soil, a thorny soil, verse 7 and verse 22. This soil looked great on the top, but the top is not what counts. It's what is in the soil itself. The seed of the gospel was sown into this soil. It sprang quickly to life, and it gave every indication of process in the right direction. But what you didn't see in that soil bank were other weed seeds. They too come to life and they grow. They were already there. The weed seeds grow very quickly. Why? Because weeds got more attention, more devotion, more sacrifice, and they were given the priority. This person gives time for everything else, but no time for the gospel or its development. There was no attention to it, but there was all the attention given to the world. The gospel is starved. Repentance of sin and following Jesus is left to be the last priority of anything and everything. The cost, trials, and time reveal that a person did not mean it when they said, "Jesus, be my Lord." They let everything else come ahead. Notice verse 22 says, "And he becomes unfruitful." There was no fruit. Not any. Nada. Zero. No fruit. People like to receive Christ for the benefits that come with having Christ in your life. For the profit, They may receive Christ for the profit, for the insurance, but they want to cling on to the pleasures of sin. They want to hang on to the world and its ways. The gospel seed will not compete with the world or sin to survive, to produce fruit in a heart where Jesus is not Lord. Let me repeat that. The gospel will not compete with the world or sin to survive, to produce fruit in a heart where Jesus is not Lord. You ask me, Pastor, were they saved? If you look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, it says, make the tree either good or make the tree either bad. There is no in between. The gospel must rule in the heart. There is only one seat in your heart to rule from. It cannot be shared with sin or with the world. And notice with me the last soil, number D. The last soil is the good soil, verse 8 and verse 23. At last, some seed fell on some really good soil. You know, I have learned as a master gardener, good soil doesn't happen by itself. There must be preparation. The breaking up of the clay, adding organic matter or humus, plowing and shaping. It is intentional. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes direct preparation. And it took the very identical same gospel seed that was placed in all the other ones was now placed here. And it again, it germinated and it began to grow. And when this plant reached maturity, it produced fruit. And notice it wasn't just one fruit, it was in great quantities of fruit. This is fruit in the believer's life. You say, preacher, what does that fruit look like in a believer's life? Let me give you some examples. We are conformed into being like Jesus. Our faith is an active daily faith. It's not just on Sunday. We obey the Lord Jesus Christ. We abide in His word. We keep His commandments. We do those things that are pleasing unto Him. We seek His kingdom first. We live to glorify Him. And we agree with His word. Well, you say, preacher, what does it look like in a person's life? Let me give you a couple of examples. Zacchaeus, he came and called his friends, and he gave back to those he had stolen from, and he gave half to the poor. That was fruit. Matthew called his friends, his tax collectors, and said, I want you to meet the man I'm leaving this job for and who I am going to follow. Billy Sunday was a professional baseball player, made the money. He was in the papers. He got saved. He left and walked away from his baseball career and worked at a YMCA. If you don't know what a YMCA is, we have one in Phoenix. It's a young men's Christian association, and he worked there. You cannot look at a person and see which soil they are. Every person has the right to hear the gospel. So the question to you today is, what fruit do you have to show the effect of the gospel in your life? What has it had in your life? How much water and attention does the gospel get in your life? So I want to close with these thoughts. The gospel seed. What is the gospel seed? Christ lived the life to be the complete, perfect sacrifice to take your sins upon Himself and die on the cross. He rose from the grave and is alive forever. And He offers every person this salvation as a free gift. But we must agree that we have sinned, first of all, against Him. And thus, we must repent of our sins. And by faith, call on Christ to save us. We surrender our lives to Him and follow Him as Lord. That means He's the boss and master. And we demonstrate following Him by our obedience to Him. Many folks, they'll hear this gospel, but it does not make sense to them. They don't understand it because they love sin and they will not repent from it. Our world today has been conquered by sin. If you don't believe me, walk outside these doors and you can see sin has taken over. They love their sin and they're not going to touch the gospel. Is Jesus surprised? No, he is not surprised. He saw it coming. There are some here hearing this message, this gospel seed, and they want to have eternal life. They want to be in God's kingdom, but they want to come on their terms and not through Christ. They will not produce fruit in their lives by having their own other way into the gospel, into the kingdom. The Lord is not surprised by this group of folks either. Some of you are filled with the world and you're living for the world. The gospel makes complete sense and you want your sins forgiven. You want to spend eternity with Christ in his kingdom, but you refuse to surrender the world's hold in your life and give your life totally to Christ. You have compromised the gospel. You have watered and fed the world's ways and sin in your life, and you have absolutely no fruit to show for Christ in your life. Christ is not surprised by this either. He will not compete with the world for your heart. Jesus pointed out to us in verse 9, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." To hear means to obey. So the question today is, has the gospel produced fruit in your life? I'm here to tell you, it's never too late to start over. It is never too late to surrender and say, "Lord, we're going to follow you 100%. I want you to produce fruit in my life. I want to be the one that at the end of my life stands before you and says, 'Lord, here's what the gospel seed did in my life.'" Would you bow with me as we take a moment to reflect on this message this morning?